This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Welcome back. Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. Frank Cusimano with you until 12 o'clock. Cardinals and Reds today, rubber game of the series. Luke Weaver on the hill. And joining us now is the general manager of the Cardinals, Michael Gersh. Michael, good to be with you. How are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you doing, Frank?
Real good. Much to discuss, including today's starting pitcher. I think a lot of people, when they watched last night's starting pitcher, they thought, well, maybe it'll be the same kind of situation. That second or third time around, they kind of figure things out. What have you seen from Weaver that makes you think he's going to be special for years to come?
Oh, I think we have confidence in Luke because he's been very effective at everywhere he's pitched for us since we drafted him out of Florida State. He's moved through the minors quickly. He's been effective everywhere. He has the stuff and the confidence and the command to make it work. And so we expect. He's pitched really well this year. He's probably not going to, you know, he's going to stub his toe somewhere along the way, just like all pitchers do. But he's going to be a good pitcher for us.
I've always thought, and maybe you can go back to some of your early days when you were moving up the ranks and doing some scouting, that a lot of times 6 foot and under right-handed pitchers on the way up kind of get overlooked. That you're looking for 6'4 righties and lefties, you'll take them at any size. And guys like Weaver and guys like Leak are often kind of looked past by scouts. Do you agree with that at all?
I mean, I agree on some level. Look, both Weaver and Mike Leak were first-round picks, so it wasn't like they were completely ignored by scouts. But it's definitely the case that given the choice, you err on the big brawny guy who you can imagine, you know, filling out and being the top of the rotation guy. I think the smaller guys who rely more on a changeup, sometimes they get overlooked. They have to kind of prove themselves over and over again as opposed to sort of getting the benefit of the doubt. But Luke's been highly thought of for a long time. He didn't get the short end of the scouting stick or anything.
Yeah, I just think the number of right-handed starting pitchers in Major League Baseball that are 6 foot and under, that's a very short list. And we've had a couple here with Weaver and with Mike Leak. Now let's move to Jack Flaherty. Did you see his ceiling long-term as high as Weaver's?
Yeah, you know, I think one thing to keep in mind is that Jack is 21 years old. If he had gone to college, he would have just been drafted this year and probably would have, you know, been in low A ball or something. We'd probably been managing his innings. He probably would have pitched a lot of innings in college, I suspect. But the sky's the limit. He's moved quickly. He has the stuff. He has the confidence. A little bit of a rocky start here to his big league career, but that's not a huge shock, not unexpected. He's sort of at the thrown more innings than he's thrown in his life, so he's at that point. We're keeping a close eye on that as well. But his upside is as high as anybody's.
Speaking of managing innings, you guys did a little bit of that with Michael Wacha earlier in the season, had him skip a couple of starts, and now he's maybe the most complete he's ever been, adding the curveball to the arsenal. What about Wacha at this stage, and how important was that offseason of, you know, working the muscles around the scapular injury to his success right now?
Yeah, I think Michael put in a lot of time this offseason prepping himself to not just get to the end of the season, but to be strong all the way through the end of the season, and we're seeing the benefit of that. And I think, well deserved. He put in the effort, he put in the time to kind of. Do everything he could, you know, strength-wise and conditioning-wise to be ready for this, and it's played out well for him.
With Flaherty not razor-sharp last night and struggling a little bit, and we're not saying anything about his future, I'm sure it's going to be good, but next start, will there be a conversation between you and the manager and John Mozeliak about possibly Adam Wainwright taking that start, or is Flaherty definitely going to get the ball 5 days from now?
I think those are sort of two separate conversations. Waino's in his rehab process, and he's thrown a bullpen. He's going to throw another one today. Every time he throws, he looks better, but you have to wait till the next day to see how he bounces back. I mean, those are Waino's availability is going to be on his schedule, and we're not going to like try to jam him into a specific spot in the rotation or a specific start on a certain day if he's not ready for it. So they're not really tied together, I don't think.
So you would anticipate Flaherty getting the ball the next time in 5 or 6 days?
Right now, that would be my expectation.
I think a lot of Cardinal fans have this thought, including myself, that you're an organization that draws extremely well, and there is a great revenue stream coming in and a bigger one about to happen with Fox Sports Midwest and a new TV contract, that you're in the business to keep your best players, and Lance Lynn has been one of your best players. Obviously, with just a couple of weeks left, there's not going to be any contract discussion. But what about Lance Lynn long-term in this organization, Michael?
Lance has pitched great for us this year. He's pitched great for us every year he's pitched. The 1 year he missed with Tommy John is the only year he hasn't been a very important part of our rotation. Like we've talked about, we'll go into the off season and we'll see where things are at with him and with our needs. We are lucky at the moment to have a lot of young pitching and Alex Reyes coming back from injury, and so. But that doesn't directly affect our decision on Lance. It's just something that we have to sort of sort through all of our options, similar to any other role on our team where we've got options and we're trying to figure out where we can invest to improve the team for next year.
That short window, that exclusive negotiating rights period you have with Lance, do you anticipate you guys making an offer?
Again, we'll address it after the season. It's not something that we're going to discuss. It's just not worth talking about while we're trying to chase down the Cubs.
All right. Let's talk about your shortstop. When he was called up, what did you expect out of him? And now what are you expecting from Paul DeJong moving forward?
We expected Paul to step in and do well. He's a guy who's, since the day we drafted him, he's performed. He's performed well at every stop we sent him to. I don't think we expected 20-odd home runs in two-thirds of the season. But we had seen him at shortstop in the Arizona Fall League and then in Memphis this year and felt like he could play the position. And we knew he had some pop in his bat. And it was just sort of a matter of how it all played out. But he's exceeded expectations and has had, just a great season for him.
Take me back to May of 2016 when the Cardinals purchased Jose Martinez from the Royals. It was a signing that nobody really thought much about. Take me through that, and what did you think?
So Jose Martinez was a guy that had been I want to say he won the PCL batting title in 2015, the year before. He batted 380 or something like that. He's a guy that he was going to be a minor league free agent that offseason if the Royals didn't add them to their roster. And so we were excited about him as a hitter and were planning to try to sign him as a minor league free agent. Instead, the Royals added him to their roster early in the offseason, sort of like at the last minute before minor league free agency started. And so we didn't have a shot at him. Fast forward to May, and the Royals needed a roster spot, and they designated Jose for assignment because they needed a roster spot. I have no idea who it was for. I don't remember at the time. But when we saw his name as someone being designated, and we had interest in him the previous offseason, we reached out to him, and we had room on our roster to take him on, and so we worked out a small trade to add him to the roster. And, at the time it was – a guy who could really hit the ball hard, had dominated a Triple A the year before, has always been good in winter ball, and we thought we would take him on and kind of see what happened. Again, similar to DeJong, I don't think we expected him to be whatever he's doing, slugging 550 or 600 he has for the last month in the big leagues a year later. But we did. We always liked the bat, and we were lucky to be the right place at the right time.
Michael Gersh with us on the Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 5-Night of the Fan. I've been in your offices a few days before draft time, and you have this big list how you rank each player. I'm wondering, when this season ends, will you have, what they do in the NFL, will they have a depth chart? I mean, do you have that in your office, or does that happen in Major League Baseball?
We do most of that stuff electronically now.
Okay.
So we have depth charts for ourselves and for the other 29 organizations that we are constantly updating as best we can. Right. We don't know exactly what everyone else's plan is, but we do that electronically just because that way you always have it with you, whether you're in the office or somewhere else.
Well, I bring this up because I wonder is as you go into this off season, if you have that depth chart, is there a chance that Jose Martinez is going to be number one at first base and Matt Carpenter is going to be over at third, and you actually look at Jose Martinez is the guy we can move forward with as our starting first baseman?
So I think like a lot of these discussions, I mean, there's lots of possibilities. One of the things that we have with our current roster is a lot of similarly talented big league players who we control for next year. This isn't a team that a lot of guys, we're losing a large number of players to free agency or anything like that. And so we have a lot of flexibility, and we'll be looking at all those things and looking at the market and looking at other teams and looking at where we can make upgrades and trying to like piece that puzzle together. So, yeah, I mean, Jose's played himself certainly into a much more consideration for 2018 than maybe we had thought, going into the year.
How would you assess how you'll move forward in center field next year? Now, obviously, Dexter Fowler's a good player, and he has had a really good power season. The injuries have, really been a struggle for him, but he's a good player moving forward. But in terms of defensively, I think every metric will show that Tommy Pham is actually a better defensive center fielder. What do you do about that? I mean, do you play the guy who gives you better defense in center, or because Dexter was signed to be a center fielder, he's going to remain in that position? How do you see that?
I mean, that's something that will play out over the offseason. But, look, we're lucky in that not only Tommy Pham, but Grichuk can play center field. Harrison Bader is a very good center fielder. Maggie Sierra is coming up and can really run and go get the ball in the gaps. I mean, we're lucky to have a bunch of guys who can all play center field, and we'll sort out – not only where they play, but how we align things. That's again part of the whole off season of putting the puzzle back together.
And as you put that puzzle back together, and what you've seen from Harrison Bader in Memphis and in St. Louis, could you anticipate him being a starting outfielder next season?
He has certainly earned that consideration, right? We have a lot of guys that have earned the consideration as a big league starter. I think we have a lot of players on our roster who could be big league starters in the right situation, and any of those guys could be big league starters here. And that's part of what's kind of the motivation is to catch the Cubs right now. But all these guys are also playing for their role for next year.
Another guy who you picked up late, it looks like this has worked out well, is Juan Nicasio. What are you seeing with him right now? And is he a guy you may have a discussion with about his future in St. Louis after the season?
So, yeah, the acquisition of Nicasio is a little strange in that it came in September, so he's not playoff eligible. But, at this point, getting to the playoffs is phase one, and then we'll worry about the actual roster for the playoffs at a later date. He's pitched well. He's pitched well ever since he sort of transitioned to the bullpen. He's been a pretty effective big league pitcher. We know that with some of the losing guys like O and Duke to free agency, and them being eligible for free agency, and Rosenthal's injury, we're likely to be looking for bullpen help one way or another this offseason. And Juan's definitely someone that we would have interest in, and we'll figure out sort of where that goes, after the season.
I know most teams would be hesitant to put a really young pitcher in a closer role, but boy, you have some candidates with some young pitchers like Alcantara and Dakota Hudson. Are those viable candidates to get either the eighth or ninth inning next year? And what are your impressions of these young pitchers?
Yeah, we have several guys at AAA who are exciting up and coming pitchers. One of the things that we're always trying to figure out is the best role for those young pitchers as they head toward the big leagues. Certainly, a guy who can take 200 innings and be a horse in the rotation is the preference. You can never have too many guys like that. But as guys progress in their career, sometimes it becomes obvious or due to need that they might fit better in the bullpen. And so that's something that we're always evaluating, that we'll evaluate this off season, that we'll talk with the pitching coaches from the minor leagues about what their best fit might be. And it's something that you know, those guys and others will be considered for the bullpen, even if they haven't been in the bullpen yet. But it's not something that we're quick to do, right? Obviously, you'd prefer – you want your best pitchers throwing 200 innings if you can, but not all the guys are built for that. And sometimes when you have a surplus, you move one or two to the bullpen.
With Alex Reyes, I think some would say, boy, it'd be tough a year after Tommy John surgery, you know, to put him in that rotation right away. But my take would be is if you put him in the rotation and you monitor his innings coming off Tommy John, that would almost be better for his arm than being a bullpen guy and pitching 2 or 3 days consecutively. What are the discussions like for Alex Reyes moving forward? I know no decisions have been made, but what do you think?
I think that's something that we constantly talk about, not just with Alex, but with all sorts of players with all sorts of different injuries, whether the injury lends itself to shorter stints more frequently or whether it lends itself to needing more time between appearances to sort of recuperate, and which works better for that particular player and that particular, you know, body type and that injury. I think Alex is coming off Tommy John, it's not fair to Alex, and it doesn't make sense to, you know, pencil him in for 32 starts and, you know, 200 innings his first year back from Tommy John. But certainly, you know, his ability to take more than, you know, he can be a starter. He can be a starter for us next year. We'd have to manage it. We'd have to, you know, keep an eye on things and just like, but that's how we treat every pitcher, especially a young guy like Alex, whether he's coming off Tommy John or not. You know, a young pitcher with that kind of future, we'd be managing and keeping a close eye on his fatigue and, you know, maybe skip him or maybe, you know, take advantage of the All-Star break to give him a little blow or whatever. But that's something that we'll sort of, again, work through as just generally through the offseason as we look at our options, but also as he progresses through his rehab.
Let me get back to the offense for just a moment. I think many fans are wondering this. In the second half, your offense has been third in runs and third in OPS in the National League. You've had a really good offensive second half. Does that make you, as a general manager, think, well, you know what, I think our offense is going to be okay. We really don't have to worry about that in the offseason in terms of moves. Or do you look at the whole body of work and look at that first half and, hey, we definitely need an impact-proven bat?
I think definitely need is not like the sort of terminology we would use to describe our offense. Our goal when we built this team in the offseason, and Mo has talked about it when we signed Dexter, was to have a deep, long lineup of guys who get on base. And we knew we weren't going to have like the big scary monster in the middle of our lineup, but we thought we would have, you know, that on base guys all throughout the lineup, lots of traffic and lots of guys with, you know, enough power to keep the pitcher honest. And I think we're going to end up with, you know, a bunch of guys hitting 20 home runs and no one's going to hit 40. And, you know, everybody would rather have one big scary monster in the middle of the lineup. I think as we, you know, we are going to look to improve the team as we go into next season. That's true, whether it's a big bat or an arm at the back of the bullpen or something in the rotation or a great defensive player. I mean, that's something that we're going to be looking to do, obviously, regardless of how the season rolls out going forward. But the nice thing about having a good second half is that it gives you more confidence in all the guys that we have, or a lot of the guys that we have, that they're going to have better years next year. I mean, like we talked about Jose Martinez or Paul DeJong or Harrison Bader, who've improved our opinion or our expectations of what they can be next year, and that makes it easier to look at the team and feel like, no, we have the makings of a good offense, and we'll make changes to make it into a great offense if we can. But you know, it's obviously always nice to see him having a good couple months here.
How do you view Matt Carpenter's season? A .240 batting average, but a .383 on base. How do you view his year?
I think Carp has had he's had a very good offensive year. Anytime you can go to the plate and not make an out, you know, almost 40% of the time, it's hard not to have that be a really good offensive year. I think the batting average is lower than Matt would like. I think the batting average is lower than we expected. I think some of that is hitting into a little bit of poor luck. I think he's hit the ball harder if he played out the season a couple hundred times, he probably ends up with a little bit better batting average. But anytime you're getting on base 380 or 400, I mean, that's that's a really good start to a to an offense when you got a guy on base. I mean, the last, I don't know what it is, six games or so, Karp seems like he's walked two or three times a game. And when there's a guy on first base for the two, three, and four hitters almost every time, that's a great way to start the inning.
So this is going to be your first full off season as the general manager of the Cardinals. And I got to believe, and I, you know, I've been here for 25 years, I can't remember a more intriguing or busy time for a GM than the 2017 off season with these plethora of outfielders, all these middle infielders, all these young pitchers, the need for an impact bat. I mean, I guess you've told your wife and the kids this off season is not going to be much of a vacation for me.
No, we have a lot on our plate that we'd like to accomplish this offseason. I'm excited for the sort of the opportunity to sort of lead that effort more than I have in the past, and hopeful that we can check off some of those things you talked about. I mean, it's going to be a challenge to find all the right fits, but we look forward to it.
Good job. We appreciate your time, Michael. We will see you at the ballpark today. Thank you, sir.
All right. Thanks, Frank.
All right. Michael Gersh, general manager of the St. Louis Cardinals. Speaking of the Cardinals, I want to remind everybody that if you want to listen to the Cardinals Spanish broadcast today versus the Reds, it's available on cardinals.com and on MLB At Bat, the app there. We're going to be carrying Charles and Martin's show today, so we're not going to have it on 590 The Fan.
It's a different kind of foreign language with Charlie and Martin.
That's right. What is Kilcone? Is that his name?
Yes, Kilcone.
Martin Kilcone.
All right. Let's see. What do you think? I think the thought about Reyes, I think many people are in the assumption, well, we don't want to bring him back as a starter. I think they have every intention of bringing him back as a starter.
When, though? Because I understand the desire to have an innings limit, especially on a guy coming off Tommy John, still young. So if you're going to cap him, say at 150 or 160, would it behoove the Cardinals to maybe don't have him start a game
later?
Until May or June? So then innings 150 or 160 is reached maybe in October as opposed to September.
Yeah, you don't want to blow it like the Strasburg
right
thing. However, I will say this is, I think he's going to be ready. I mean, I was talking to Lehman the other day. Guys come back sooner. That surgery is getting better and better. Look, I don't know the intricacies of that, but he may be ready 100% by the start of spring training.
It could be really interesting, Frank, to see how they handle just the rotation in general next year, because if Weaver and Flaherty both show signs that they're going to be able to continue some success and they want to plug those guys in along with Reyes and have a fairly young rotation, I'd be interested to see if they wouldn't sign maybe a cheap innings eater that could kind of fill in, you know, at times to make things a little easier on these innings limit guys. But if the future of the rotation all kind of arrives at the same time next season, Cardinals could be pretty decent as far as starting pitching for years to come.
In fact, Brian, during this break, let's take a look at some free agent pitchers that could be potential innings eaters that you're not going to spend $100 million
on.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Move on, boys.
Before we go to break, Victory Men's Health, they want to remind everybody they're just about 15 minutes from downtown St. Louis in beautiful O'Fallon, Illinois. A visit to Victory Men's Health is unlike any other medical offices. You won't find white walls, plastic chairs, and tile floors. Instead, it's more of a man cave experience, offering VIP treatment that will make you feel right at home. At Victory, we fully understand the sensitive nature of sexual health, Brendan, which is why they've designed their facility with an atmosphere of comfort and discretion. Go to their website, find out more, find out about that vitamin drip that Chuck Tuna gets and makes him feel very, very young. Speaking of doctor's appointments, I've done this now twice in the last 3 months that I had a scheduled appointment to see a doctor, and I waited. The last time I waited 45 minutes. The appointment was at 1, and I waited to 1:40, and they put me in the room right away at 1 o'clock, and the doctor didn't come. So after 45 minutes, I just left. I mean, just ask yourself this: if you go to Kimal's restaurant and you set a reservation at 7 o'clock, and you were to sit in that lobby for 45 minutes, wouldn't you leave or get upset?
Yeah, I've left before too at a doctor's office because of that.
I don't go to doctors, so I don't know.
You've never gone to a doctor?
Yes, I mean not
Are you
never,
a Christian
but
scientist?
No, I'm not. I don't. It's been a while, though. I would think.
But I mean, these are highly intelligent, skilled people who do a great job. But look, if they set an appointment at this time, then they should live up to it. I mean, that's unbelievable what they do. All right. We will take a short timeout. We'll take some text and some phone calls when we come back. A reaction on the Michael Gersh interview also.